Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Holy One, open our ears to hear this story anew. Open our hearts to receive it, and open our lives to respond. Give us courage to follow where you lead. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Listen to God's word. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let's join together in the spirit of prayer. O good and holy God, may my words this day be your words, and may your words take root in our hearts and minds so that we grow closer to the kingdom you have promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure many of you will know how I begin this sermon. 9 years ago, I was ordained on Palm Sunday. It has become a fun and beautiful tradition to share with all of you. And so I want to thank you first for playing along and allowing me to start every Palm Sunday with reminding you of how many years ago I was ordained. But today, I actually want to talk a little bit more about that journey to ordination. LGBTQIA plus ordination became possible in our denomination, the Presbyterian Church USA, in 2011. I was 19 at the time. Same-sex marriage became legal in our denomination in 2014 and in our country in 2015. I was 22 and 23, respectively, and in my first 2 years of seminary. While in seminary, I was also reminded, and respectfully and kindly reminded, by my professors that as a member of the LGBTQIA plus community, I would have to work so much harder and be so much better just to be considered an equal pastor to my straight peers. And I also know that women have been given that same message, to be considered equal to their male peers. In my final step, before I became certified and ready to receive a call, after I had finished all of my ordination requirements, I was asked to publicly apologize to the Committee on Preparation for Ministry for, as they put it, my homosexual lifestyle. And a good number of you know me well enough that, of course, I refused to do that. because I very much love this side of who I am, and I was taught to love this side of who I was. But I was approved for ordination by one single vote. A single vote carried the weight of whether I would be ordained as a minister of word and sacrament. A single vote would carry the weight of whether I would be one of your pastors today. In 2017, I was ordained as a minister of word and sacrament in my home congregation in rural Northeast Colorado, in the same church that taught me people like me would be punished by God. And in 2018, our denomination finally voted to affirm the full welcome, acceptance, and inclusion of LGBTQ people, especially transgender and non-binary individuals within the church. And then in 2019, God led me to you and this congregation. I do appreciate that, but not the reason I'm telling you this. I tell you all of this because I am 34. I'll tell you all my age. I am 34. But 8 years ago, people like me were finally affirmed by our denomination. 11 years ago, people like me were finally allowed to get married in our denomination and in our country. And 15 years ago, people like me were allowed to be ordained in our denomination. Not all Christian churches, but within the Presbyterian Church USA. And today, as we know, LGBTQIA plus rights, especially rights for transgender people, are still being debated. I told you I am 34 because half of 34 is 17. For over half my life, at the age of 34, I did not have the same rights as the majority of you in this room. There are also people in this room, people who are also LGBTQIA+, who are in their 50s and 60s and 70s. For them, less than a quarter of their life were given the same rights as the majority of people in this room. My very presence in this pulpit is because of prophetic, political words spoken from God's pulpit. Words spoken long before I was ordained and long before I was even born. And here at First Presbyterian Church, that is true for all of our pastors. Pastors Stephanie, Catherine, Mufid, and Abraham, women and immigrants of color, all were once upon a time not allowed to serve the church. Without prophetic political words and without public witness, our session and our board of deacons both would lose the gifts of over half their members. And today, without all of that public witness, today in the church, women would still be told to serve their husbands, and that people of color would not be allowed to worship with us. And we definitely would not have our Arabic language or Chin Burmese language services. I'm telling you all of this because Palm Sunday is personal for me, not just because I was ordained on this day, but because Palm Sunday is the day Jesus enters into the city as part of a public witness of his role as Savior. Jesus enters into the city, and soon people see him, and they hear him, and they respond to him. Something happened in the crowd that day, because as one commenter put it, Jesus' message of the triumphal entry is public and provocative. In Mark's gospel, the text that we used for today in the triumphal entry, Jesus enters Jerusalem with great intention, with lots of acts. He sends the disciples ahead of him. He tells the disciples where to go, what to find, what to say, and what to bring back. The disciples find the colt. They untie it. They answer those who question them, and then they bring the colt to Jesus. And then cloaks were thrown over the colt, and more cloaks were spread on the road, and branches were cut and laid down. And people soon began to move ahead of Jesus, and they began to move behind Jesus, and they surround him completely. And voices rise, shouting, "Hosanna." The Gospel of Mark tells this story in such a physical way that it is right to call this story a moment of embodied faith. And all of this is happening in Jerusalem during the Passover. And Passover was the story of liberation of the Israelites from slavery. So everything about this moment is alive with questions about power and authority. And Jesus enters into that moment on a humble colt, and the crowd greets him in royal language, quoting the palms or the Psalms. Something kingly is happening in this moment. But as another commentator writes, Jesus as king or Jesus as savior arrives with a heavy dose of tension and irony. The crowd recognizes something real, and yet the shape of Jesus' reign is already different from the power that they were expecting. And in this moment, Jesus makes a public claim, and that public claim continues. And this is to reveal the character of God's kingdom. This is part of our faith as Presbyterians. This has always been a part of the Reformed tradition. In fact, in the Reformed tradition, we should have been taught that public life is never outside of the concern of God. And in fact, John Calvin in the Institutes of the Christian Religion wrote that civil magistracy is holy and legitimate, even the most sacred and honorable in human life. This means the issue the church must address is what authority is used for in public life. Palm Sunday reveals a savior whose authority is exercised through justice, mercy, truth, compassion, and love. And when we think of Palm Sunday that way, and a savior whose authority is exercised in that way, Hosanna, the cry of Hosanna begins to feel different too. This is a prayerful plea. Lord, save us. In this moment, the crowd is not only welcoming Jesus, but they are also bringing all of their concerns and all of their needs, all of their desires and their wants, bringing them to Jesus in a public sphere. Their praise and their cries carry both longing and hope. And they're crying out because the world is not yet the world God desires it to be. And that cry of Hosanna, those cries of Hosannas aren't just words, because that prayer takes visible form during the triumphal entry. The people lay down their cloaks, they spread them on the road, they cut branches, they arrange their bodies around Jesus as a large crowd. This is all a public witness to the good that they believe will come. And none of the people have the whole picture yet, but they have seen enough of Jesus to respond with whatever they do have. This is also true within the church. Public witness rarely arrives at a moment where all of us are in universal agreement. More often, it comes because people are willing to act on what the gospel has already made clear. For example, clear enough to ordain women and queer people, clear enough to know that slavery and segregation is a sin against people of color, clear enough to know that we must bless everyone, especially those who were once denied dignity by the church. These glimpses of public witness continue. They continued this week as well. And please listen to my words carefully here and what I'm intending to say. Yesterday, people gathered at the No King rallies, bringing their bodies and their voices into public space because they believed something needed to be said out loud about power and accountability and the danger of any figure in authority asking for the same kind of loyalty that belongs to God. And I'm not bringing up that moment because I believe or that the church should echo every single political movement around us. But I am bringing it up because Palm Sunday gives us a theological lens for recognizing why public witness matters even at all. Another example this week, Ms. Rachel, who has become one of the most beloved educators of young children in our country, said in an interview, "It's political to believe that children are worthy of love and care, and that every child is equal, and that our care shouldn't stop at what we look like, our family, at our religion, at a border." Ms. Rachel is saying something that I hope we already know, that there are moments when love becomes political because love has expanded to include those it once excluded. And if any of us wonder whether people who care for children should ever be a part of that kind of public witness, let me remind you of Fred Rogers. Many of you still carry a connection to Mr. Rogers because of his connection to the Reverend Dr. Bill Barker, a former pastor of this congregation. In 1969, on his TV show, Mr. Rogers invited Officer Francois Clemens, a black man, to cool his feet in a small wading pool at a time when public pools still carried the fresh wounds of segregation. And when Officer Clemens stepped out of the pool, Mr. Rogers helped dry his feet on a towel, all on public television. That moment was a political moment of public witness. A crowd throwing cloaks and branches into the road before Jesus, crying, "Save us, Lord." People gathering in public because they believe power must be held accountable. A teacher for toddlers who says that children deserve love and care no matter what border contains them. Mr. Rogers sharing a pool and a towel with a black man at a time where our country was still trying to keep human dignity separated. None of these moments are identical, but each one of these moments reveal that public witness is meant to be courageous and deeply embodied for us to move closer to the kingdom that God has intended. And we can do all of this without losing compassion or tenderness. So this is where Palm Sunday leaves us. It leaves us with a savior on a humble colt, a crowd gathering in the street, and a cry for salvation. Jesus came in that moment to the people to expose what kind of power we can trust and what kind of kingdom we long for. And then the story doesn't end with that triumphal entry. Because after Jesus rides the colt and after the crowds have gathered, Jesus continues into the city, and then that whole moment begins to shift. Jesus then goes into the temple to overturn the tables in anger. He breaks bread with his disciples. He goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray in anguish. He is put on trial before violent power. And then he is executed and crucified on the cross. That procession into Jerusalem is only the beginning of a much deeper revelation, because by the end of this moment, by the end of the Passover, Jesus will show us with his whole body exactly what kind of savior he is. He is the Savior who receives the cry of Hosanna and then walks all the way into the suffering that cry contains. He is the Savior whose throne will be revealed as a cross with a crown made of thorns. We cry Hosanna, Lord, save us. We cry Hosanna with honesty. We enter into this Holy Week ready to see once again that the good news is not only that Jesus came to save, but that Jesus came and will come again to show us how to live, how to love, how to serve, how to bear public witness in this world to the kingdom God has promised. Because friends, our Savior is here, and with it, the promise of God's kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.